Hello, friends. This is Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. Thank you so much for being here with us. We are looking forward to God's future blessing of this ministry as we seek to handle His Word carefully, to teach without confusion or ambiguity about what saving faith is and what it is not. So today, we continue the series, Confident in Christ, as we think about, are there erasers in heaven? Where did we get that title? Well, it came from a question we received about Revelation 3:5, where there is this phrase about God not blotting out someone's name from the book of life. Stay tuned for today's interesting discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, today we're talking about the subject of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. We believe the Bible teaches that once someone has believed in Jesus for eternal life, they have that life and they can never, ever lose it. Even if we're faithless, He remains faithful and nobody can snatch us out of His hands. Now, some people challenge that because there are verses in the Bible that seem to say it's possible to lose your salvation. For example, we received this letter from a reader of our bi-monthly magazine, Grace in Focus, which is free to everyone who asks for it at our website, faithalone.org. And the reader says this, Revelation 3:5 is one passage that has been very hard for me to understand and clarify. My question is, can a believer lose his salvation or be erased from the book of life if he does not overcome? Well, that's a good question, and let me read the passage that person was speaking about. It's verse 5 in chapter 3 of Revelation. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What does that phrase, will not blot out his name from the book of life, mean? Doesn't it mean it's possible to be blotted out from the book of life?
Well, no, this is actually stating the opposite, although there are different views on what this means. Several years ago, a man wrote a journal article on this passage, and he suggested that the word name, anama, refers to one's character. And he suggested that in the Book of Life, you will not only have a listing that says Sean Lazar, but you would have some sort of a statement about character qualities.
So it's like their reputation.
Their reputation.
Your name is your reputation.
And this author said that he won't blot out the reputation of the one who's an overcomer, victorious Christian, but that he would blot out the reputation of the one who is faithless. Now that is one view. But the more common view here is that what the Lord is saying in Revelation 3:5 is that not only will He not blot the name out of the book of life, but He will exalt the name. Notice how the word name in Greek, it's anama, is repeated. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name, anama, from the book of life, but I will confess his name, anama, before my Father and before his angels. Remember Matthew 10:32-33, where Jesus says, he who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. And he who does not confess me before men, or he who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. I think this is picking up on that. And it's saying that the believer who confesses Christ, Jesus is going to confess his name before the Father. So this is called litotes. Litotes means a figure of speech of understatement.
Well, I have an example of that,
okay,
if that's
yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
One of my favorite movies is called King Rat, and it's a movie about the Second World War, and it's set in a POW camp in Malaysia. In this camp, the soldiers are very much deprived of just everything you can possibly think of. But one soldier is very resourceful, and through bribery and through stealing, he becomes the King Rat. He can get what you want, alcohol, food, whatever it is, he's the guy that you go to get something. Well, in the movie, a British officer gets interned in this camp, and the King Rat wants to impress him, so he invites him to his tent, and he cooks some fried eggs. Now, none of these prisoners have ever seen any fried eggs for months and months and months, and they're all hungry, and they're all staring at this frying pan as he's frying these delicious fried eggs. And as the British officer takes the first bite, the King Rat says, "Well, what do you think?" And the British officer says, "Not bad." Well, the king rat, he is so upset. He's like, not bad. What do you mean not bad? This is the greatest thing you've ever eaten. And the British officer says, that's exactly what I meant. It's just an expression. It means these eggs are bloody good. And isn't that what Jesus is saying here?
Exactly.
Not only is he saying, I won't blot you out, I am going to exalt your name. It's right. Just an expression.
And it's not blotting out the person. It's blotting out the anama, the reputation, I think, that is what the issue is. But the point would then be, if you take this view, that what he's going to do is exalt the name versus blotting out the name. He's not going to blot anybody's name out. Of course, one question that people have is, what is the Book of Life? We see the Book of Life several places in the Book of Revelation, also in Colossians chapter 4, and the Book of Life evidently is the name of all who have everlasting life. So obviously, no one will be blotted out of that book. But what Jesus is talking about is an exaltation of people who are in the book if they persevere.
Well, let's talk about this, because there are some people who think every single Christian will be exalted in the same way. It's all equal after you die. Everyone gets the same thing in heaven when you die. But we believe there is actually going to be differences in experiences. Different Christians, faithful Christians, are going to be more rewarded than Christians who are unfaithful.
Right.
And this kind of ties into the doctrine of eternal rewards, that Jesus is going to reward and exalt faithful Christians more than he will unfaithful Christians.
Yes. Paul said, 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. And the Lord said at the end of Revelation chapter 3, in verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
And it's not guaranteed that they'll overcome, right?
No. Some people go to 1 John chapter 5, where it says that what overcomes the world is our faith in Christ. And so some people say 1 John 5 is where John says all believers are overcomers. I don't think that's the case. I think what John's saying is that our faith overcomes the world, and as long as we continue to live by faith, we continue to overcome the world. But in any case, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there's a repeated emphasis on overcoming and the call to overcome. Every one of the seven letters says, I know your works. The emphasis is on overcoming, that works will continue to the end. For example, Revelation 2:26, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nation.
Now, wait a second. So this is an experience beyond being born again.
Right.
Being born again just is by faith apart from works, but this overcoming depends on your works. This is not eternal salvation. This is eternal reward. So what is this power over the nations?
Okay, power over the nations goes back to what he says in Revelation 3, verse 21. You will sit on my throne. You will rule with Christ. Overcoming is the Greek word nikao. The noun is Nike.
Right, that sounds familiar.
Nike is the Greek goddess of victory, and the shoe company Nike was named after the Greek goddess of victory. So that an overcoming Christian is a victorious Christian. And what do we overcome? The world, the flesh, the devil. And if we do that, then we're going to rule with Christ. We're going to have power over the nations.
So biblically speaking, this is not guaranteed. This is something that you need to grow in intentionally as you're abiding in Christ, putting his word into practice in your life.
Right. To be a victorious Christian is one who has a spiritual mindset, who sees life the way God wants us to see life. But once you are a victorious Christian, there's no guarantee that you stay that way. So what we need to do, for example, in Revelation 2 and 3, one of the letters, he said, hold fast to what you have, right? If the person is already an overcomer, they need to hold fast in order to stay an overcomer. If a person is not an overcomer, then they need to grow in their Christian life to become that overcomer.
So there are several things in this passage that should alert the careful Bible student that we are talking about eternal rewards here. The language Jesus uses is not the language of that initial moment of salvation, when you simply believe in him and he gives you everlasting life. The language he uses here all speaks to a future rewarding of believers. For example, He uses the word overcome, which we've just talked about. That's more than just simply believing in Jesus for eternal life. That is Nike success in your life.
Exactly. In fact, in verse 4, notice he says, "You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white." Why? "For they are worthy."
So you have this concept of worthiness. Now, when we come to Jesus in that initial moment of faith, we have to be justified by faith apart from works because we are unworthy to be justified.
Right.
There's nothing we can do to earn that initial justification. So the fact that Jesus is talking about worthiness here, that should clue us in that he is not talking about that initial moment of salvation. He's talking about something else.
Exactly. And the white garments, that's a reward. Although the word misthos doesn't occur here, the word misthos means reward or wages. And it's used throughout the New Testament to refer to eternal wages, eternal rewards. The key for us is to recognize this is dealing with rewards, not salvation. Jesus confessing you before the Father deals with rewards.
And what does that mean, confessing before the Father?
When we come to the judgment seat of Christ, every single Christian is going to be evaluated by Christ and is either going to be confessed before the Father or not. The ones who are confessed before the Father, we read in Luke 19:17, where he says, "Well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in little, have authority over 10 cities." So that's what he's going to say before the Father and before the angels. But some believers will not be confessed. That is, they will not get any rulership.
All right, so to sum up, in verse 5, when Jesus says, "He who overcomes," he's talking about victorious Christians, overcoming Christians, and if you are an overcoming Christian, not only will he not blot out your name, he's going to confess you before the Father. It's an understatement to show just how much you are going to be exalted before God.
Exactly. I love your King Rat illustration. Not bad means really good in British understatement. Here, "I won't blot out your name" means I'm going to shout it from the rooftops.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for looking comprehensively at that phrase from God's Word. It is not about eternal salvation, but rather eternal reward. Therefore, we should choose to hold fast and to grow in His power to become and remain a victorious overcomer. This is Grace in Focus from Grace Evangelical Society, and I thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we'd like to hear from you with your comments and emails. You can email us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And we hope you will continue with us on this journey in the days and years ahead. We look forward to it. Along with that, I hope you'll visit faithalone.org so that you can find out more about who we are and why we exist. You'll find blog updates, videos, and tools for ministry leaders and pastors. That's faithalone.org. You can also help us sustain this ministry by giving a financial gift through our secure site at faithalone.org. The content of our current series, Confident in Christ, is also in written form. If you'd like a free ebook of the first four chapters of Confident in Christ by Bob Wilkin, just email us at radio@faithalone.org. You will also receive a code allowing you to buy the book at half price. I sincerely hope that you'll stop by again tomorrow as we continue our series, Confident in Christ, when Sean and Bob will cover the topic, Perseverance of the Saints. It's in the Bible, but what does it really mean? Find out in tomorrow's broadcast. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. Let's keep grace in focus.